Welcome to our second week in our new building. We're really excited about being here and next week's grand opening and all that God's going to do. As we say so many times, remind ourselves, we remind you, church is not a building. It's not about a building. It's about you. It's about people. But we are excited to have room for people and so we can reach many more of them. And that's kind of the goal of what we're doing. So we hope next week you'll bring a lot of, just bring 10 of your closest friends with you, okay? We'll make room for them. It's going to be really, 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 really good. So we're excited to have you. If you haven't been here in a while, welcome back. I know I get to see several folks I hadn't seen in a bit. It's good to see you back with us today. So thank you for doing that. I'm excited today to be able to open God's word with you. As Todd said just a moment ago, we're taking of the Lord's table today. And so if you're a guest with us, you might see this and this might look unfamiliar to you. Maybe you've never gone to church or maybe it's been a long time. Or maybe where you went to church, it was like how I went to church. And when they took the communion, they passed it to you. So you see this and you're starting to get nervous about what to do. Don't worry about anything, okay? We get to that point of our service, we'll tell you exactly how it all works. So just relax. It's just good to have you with us today. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we are today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the cross as we prepare our hearts to take of the Lord's table. At Center Point, and every church does it different, but the way we take of the Lord's table, when we do this, we take the whole service for this time and set it aside for this. And so today is that special day that we're taking time to remember the Lord's death. Now, why do we do this? Well, Jesus told us, you remember, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in what? Anyone know? Remembrance of me. Why did he tell us to do that? Because he knew we would forget. We'd forget about the cross. We'd forget about the power of the cross. We'd forget about the price and what Jesus had to go through for us. And so he said, hey, look, I want you to do this. And when you do this, use this as a time to be reminded. And so today is all about that. Not going to learn probably any new truths today. But we are going to talk about and be reminded of what Jesus did for us as we prepare our hearts to come and take of the Lord's table. Heavenly Father, it is a joy today to be together, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for this place that we get to worship you. And I pray your hand of blessing upon it. I pray that you, God, would be glorified and honored here. I pray that you today, God, as we seek you, that we would hear from you. And those of us who are in the room who may not know you, that today that our eyes would be open to you. And those who do, we'd be reminded of you and the sacrifice that you paid for us on the cross. God, this whole month, we're praying for families, so we pray for the families you've given us. We ask that you would be with them, our extended families, our families, if we're married, those that are married in the room, and God, that you would take care of those. I know there's a lot of struggles and problems, and we ask for your help with that. We also pray for families we've never met, that you'd help us to meet them and share the gospel with them. Bless your word today as we look into it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you can begin with me in verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. And as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours when you lived in ignorance. But like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, well, then conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay here on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. No, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world and has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who he raised from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have obedience in the truth, purified your souls with sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not with seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Well, if we would really unpack 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 23, we would be here. Somebody would have to order the sandwich, the big sandwich for us. So we're not going to get to all of this today, but I do want to just take a few moments and get our thoughts focused towards the cross, to what Jesus has done for us. What an incredible passage of Scripture to remind us of this. The first thing we see in verse 18, and we see the price. We see the price that Jesus paid for our sins. We read this in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but instead you were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. This passage reminds us of the price that Jesus paid for us, the price of the cross. That's what we're thinking about today. Now, if you're here and you're in a relationship with God through Jesus, then you've been redeemed by God. I want you to think about that today. I want that to settle in and you focus on that for a moment. If you're here and you're in a relationship with God through Jesus, you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. This is a powerful thing. The word redeemed, we hear, it's kind of a church word. So we hear the word and we kind of wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means to liberate. It means to deliver. It literally means, are you ready for this? To ransom. To ransom. And you're like, what is that? Well, we don't want ransom. Ransom is a price that's paid to free someone from captivity or to remove a penalty. All of us are familiar with this idea. We've heard about it. We've read it in the news. We've seen the movies about somebody, usually somebody wealthy. They don't have to be wealthy, but generally it's somebody wealthy, and one of their children or one of their spouse, they're taken, they're kidnapped, and they're put in a room and usually taped up. You know, we see the picture, can picture this in our mind, and somebody makes the call. It's called a what? A ransom call, right? They call them on the phone. They say, look, I've got Skip Foreacre. And they're like, keep him. No, they're like, I got Skip Foreacre, you want him back. If you want to see him alive, we're like, no, if you want to see him alive, you got to pay us. And then they list some incredible amount of money, $1 million. You got to do it by a certain time or we're going to kill him, right? We've all seen this. And when somebody pays the money, what is that money called? It's called a ransom money, right? When this happens, the child or loved one, they're held until this payment is made. And when the money's received, they're set free. Now, that's the exact idea that Peter wants to convey to us here. If you've never thought about redemption like this before, I want you to think about it like this now. That's the exact idea he's trying to convince. You see, as mankind, we were kidnapped by sin. We were held hostage by sin's consequences. If we had time today and could go around the room, there could be many stories in this room we could share about how we were prisoners. Prisoners of our own sin. Prisoners of our own addiction. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they passed down to us this sin nature. All of us were held by sin's consequences and sin's penalty. That's what Ephesians 2 says. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all, look at this, formerly lived. That's how we used to be, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We used this verse last week, but it reminds us of what it means to be lost. And today, I know some of us came to Christ. I know for me, I was 7 years old. Many of you in this room have met Jesus, come into a relationship with him a long time ago. Maybe for some of you, you've never done that or it's been recent. But I want to remind us of what our condition was. We were kidnapped. We were needing a ransom paid because we were held captive by our sin. We were lost. We were hopeless. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. And the harder we tried, the more lost we got. And then Jesus came to ransom us. I want you to think about that this morning. Jesus came from heaven to ransom us. That's what we're celebrating today. Fact is, the Bible talks about this in Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, look at this, and to give his life a ransom for many. Or 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, look, as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. This is what Jesus did for us. Church, this is what we celebrate today. This is why we take of this. I beg you not to just walk up here and eat a cracker and drink some Welch's grape juice, because that is not what this is about today. This represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are celebrating that Jesus paid a price for us. Why? Because according to verse 18, we could not be ransomed with things like silver or gold. There was no other way. That wouldn't do it. Our good works, no matter how good we were, no matter how much we tried to climb our way to heaven, there wasn't a ladder big enough for us to get there. We couldn't do enough good works to ransom ourselves. Whatever we tried to do, our baptism, if we got baptized every week, it wasn't enough. Our church membership, nothing would do it. According to our text, we could not be redeemed with those sort of things, perishable things. But it would take, verse 19, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His precious blood. I want you to think today about the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. And look how it describes him. It says he was a lamb unblemished. Now for us, we don't get the picture of this. But remember, what would they sacrifice? They had to sacrifice a lamb, and the family would come around and they would lay their hands on this little lamb that may even been a pet or part of the flock that they knew, and they would symbolically transfer their sins. And then that lamb had to be a perfect lamb. It couldn't have any spots or a lame or a bad ear. It had to be perfect. They would lay their sin, and that lamb, then its throat would be slit and it would be laid on an altar to pay for sin or to atone for sin. And Jesus was that lamb, an unblemished lamb. He never sinned. Jesus did not pay for his sin. He paid for ours. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. And he was an unblemished lamb for us. And according to the text, he shed his blood for us. Now just remember today, I just want to jog your memory of what you already know. Remember how Jesus was in the garden. He left the upper room and he's taken his men over there. He asked them to pray with him, and he took a few and went a little further in. You remember? He said, pray with me because I need you. I need you tonight. Jesus went away and he began to pray. And when he came back, they were asleep. And Jesus woke them up and said, please, please, I need you to pray with me. And you need this too. And they began to pray again and they fell asleep. Jesus went off. And Jesus begged God, if there's any other way, if there's any other solution, if there's any other way to ransom mankind, if there's any other way to pay for sin's debt, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus comes back a third time. They're asleep. Can you picture the dust in the distance as he sees the mob coming with their torches and their clubs and their swords? The Bible says Jesus didn't run. He went to them. He wasn't a victim. He willingly gave his life for our sins. They took Jesus away that night. They beat him. They plucked his beard out. They punched him in the face. He had 6 mock trials that night, all of which were illegal. And then Jesus stood before Pilate the next day. You remember the story. Pilate said, I don't want anything to do with this. I'll wash my hands of this man. What do you want me to do? I've got this terrible criminal. I can release one. Release Barabbas. What do I do with Jesus? Pilate was dumbfounded. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, they yelled. Let his blood be on us and our children and our children's children. And Pilate had Jesus scourged, a beating that most of us would never even live through. And Jesus suffered under the beating of that whip, the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. The cross was laid on Jesus' back. Can you picture it? As he began to walk towards Calvary, towards that hill called Golgotha. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but I can only imagine that man must have cracked that whip a couple more times on Jesus. He couldn't take it. He fell beneath the weight of it. Somebody else carried the cross. You remember the story. Took Jesus to that hill, nails through his hands and his feet, and Jesus suffered and bled and died, a lamb unblemished, paying the price for our ransom to buy us back from the kidnapping of Satan. I hope today, as we take of this Lord's table, that we're reminded of the price Jesus paid for our sin. But why did he do it? What did Jesus' sacrifice produce for us? Well, in verse 23, we see that Jesus' death gave us the right to be reborn. Verse 23, for you have been, look at the words, born again. You should circle it. You should be, it says, born again, not with a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. Jesus' death gave us the right to be born again, to be reborn. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received him, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, to be reborn, to be reclassified as God's children, even to those who believe in his name. If you've been born again, this is what Jesus has done for you. Now, this idea of being born again, we read about in John chapter 3. Many of you know the story of Nicodemus, this rich ruler, this ruler, a religious ruler who comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of the repercussions. And he asks Jesus a question, and Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Remember the story? And Nicodemus says, this incredibly brilliant ruler says this, the dumbest thing ever. He's like, do you mean I've got to go back inside my mother and be reborn? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, no. That's not what I mean. You have to be born physically and you have to be born spiritually. You've got to be reborn. That's what Jesus' death allowed for us, the ability to do this. And look at verse 18. He says, reborn not with perishable seed, not with something that's going to die again, but with imperishable, something that will live forever, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus, then you don't belong to the same Father that you used to. I know it's hard for us to hear this, but if we're not in a relationship with God through Jesus, the one that we belong to, the one that we're serving, the team that we're on is not Jesus' team. It's Satan's team. That's what John 8:44 says. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of liars. And that's where we are. Before we meet Jesus, we're on that team. We're a part of his family. But Jesus paid the price so we could be reborn. And when we come into a relationship with Jesus, all of that changes. Romans chapter 8. Tells us what happens when we meet Jesus. His spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are now the children of God. We've been reborn. We're not on that family anymore. We're in a different family. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And church, listen, the one thing I want you to get today is that all of this happened because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And today we're overwhelmingly thankful. Overwhelmingly thankful that Jesus paid the price to ransom us, to give us the right to be reborn, reclassified, to become his children. So church, because we've been ransomed, how should we live our lives? Well, that's what verse 13 tells us. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because we've been reborn, what should our lives look like? Well, according to verse 13, we should prepare our minds for action. If you're here and you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus, I want you to really listen today. You are and I am to prepare our minds for action. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Do not be conformed or made like this world anymore, but be transformed or changed. How? By renewing your mind so that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And why does he tell us to reprogram, to change our minds? Why does he tell us in our text to prepare our minds? Because our mind is the control center of our body. It's what controls our actions. Our thoughts produce our actions and control us in this way. And so our minds must be changed for our actions to change. And how do you renew your mind? Well, you renew your mind with the word of God. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all of my heart I've sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden or treasured in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Do you see what happens? As I allow the word of God to control me, it changes my behavior. My mind is the control center of my body. He tells us in our text to prepare or develop our minds. He goes further. He says, we do this by, he says, keep sober in the spirit. We do this by staying alert spiritually, staying engaged. That's what the word sober means, engaged in the spirit. And then he says, by keeping focused on the goal, he says, keeping the goal in mind. We keep the thought that we are not residents of this world, if you're here in a relationship with Jesus, but that your home is in heaven, and we keep our mind focused on that goal, fixed completely on the hope of the revelation of Jesus. I love what he says. He says it in verse 14. It's hard to hear, but as we take of the Lord's table today, if you're a Christ follower, we need to hear this. He tells us in verse 14, don't live like you used to live before you met Jesus. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. He said, don't act like you used to live before when you didn't know any better. When you were ignorant, when you had no idea about the changes that God wants to make in your life. Don't say the same thing. Don't go to the same places. Don't think the same thoughts. Don't live like you lived before you knew Jesus. You lived in ignorance. Instead, he says, because of the cross, because of the redemption, because of being reborn, he says, instead, don't live like that, verse 15, but instead be like the Holy One who called you, he says. Be holy yourselves in all of your behavior. The word holy just simply means set apart. Be different. Because you have been ransomed, because you've accepted of the Lord Jesus, be different. And church, listen, I say this and remind you, and Peter reminded the early church, and I remind you today, simply because it is so easy for us to take the benefit of eternal life, of having our sins forgiven, and then just regress and live just like we lived before we met Jesus. And he's reminding us today, you are not ignorant anymore. You're not like you used to be. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed. You've been reborn. And because you've been reborn, you should be different. That's what he's telling us. Don't live like you used to live. Instead, like the Holy One, like God is holy, be holy in all you do. What's the standard for our life? Well, according to our text, verse 15, it's our Heavenly Father. He said we should be holy as Him. And then he quotes it in verse 16, for it is written, quoted from Leviticus, you shall be holy because I am holy. God expects us to live our lives for Him. Now, we're not perfect. And really, that's what today's about. It's a time to remember the cross, but it's also a time to sanctify ourselves, to become pure in what we do. So let me ask you, have you experienced being reborn by Jesus? I know that sounds a little bit like a churchy question if you're new to church, but I mean it in all sincerity. Let me ask you, have you been reborn? Have you experienced being reborn by Jesus? Have you been ransomed by Him? In other words, has there been a time and a place in your life when you have accepted Jesus Christ? You've come into a relationship with God through Jesus. I know for me, I was 7 years old. I remember I went to a church service. I heard what I'd already heard before, but it made sense to me that I was a sinner, that I couldn't do anything to earn my way to God, that my sin was separating me from God, and that ultimately my sin would eternally separate me from God in a place called hell. And I understood it. And I remember as a seven-year-old, I understood that Jesus came to earth, like we talked about today, and died on a cross for me and rose again. I believed it and understood it. And I remember getting on my knees and asking Jesus, would you please come into my life and forgive me of my sins? Because I want to be on your team. I want to be in a relationship with you. Let me ask you, have you ever done that? Have you been ransomed by Him? You see, just going to church, just being baptized, just trying to live good, just knowing the gospel story is not enough. There has to be a moment when you personally invite Jesus Christ into your life. That's what Romans 10:13 says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There has to be a moment for you. Has there been a moment that you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus? And if not, I don't want you to feel beat up today. I don't want you to feel picked on. I don't want you to feel bad about it. But I want you to understand you're sitting on the most golden opportunity of your entire life. Because right now, right here in the seats in this new auditorium, you can invite Jesus to come into your life and forgive you. You can do it just like I did when I was seven. Right where you're seated, you can ask Jesus, you can pray to Him and say, Jesus, I believe you're God's son. and I believe you died on a cross and rose for me, will you please come into my life and save me? You can pray to him, and he'll change you right where you are. And if you're here today and you are a Christ follower, as I know many of you are, then let me ask us this question that the text asks us today. Are you preparing your mind for action? A lot of times we're just, we're living very carelessly, and we are not thinking like this. We wonder why Satan attacks us and wins so often. According to this text, he says we're to prepare our minds for action. Are you doing that? Are you focused on the goal, the return of Christ, realizing that you're not a citizen of this place? We spend so much of our energy focused on our retirement and our life here, forgetting that if you're a Christ follower, this is not your home. Are you living a life that has been changed by the cross? Church, are you living a life that's holy? Because that's what today's all about. It's about realizing what Jesus has done for us. It's about realizing that because of the cross, God did not save us. And I know when you hear this, you're like, man, that sounds like a lot of do's and don'ts. That sounds like a lot of, I thought we were talking about the cross and grace today. We are. One of the most gracious things God could do in your life is to save you and change you. How much lack of grace would it be for God to save you and let you just like you were? He wants you to be different. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be holy. That's what today's about. If you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus, the cross is for you. You can invite Jesus into your life. And if you're here and you've drifted away from God, maybe you're not living your life for him. You're not living your life focused on the goal. You're not holy. You've not really lived a life that's been changed by the cross. Then today is the day for you to repent, to come to God and confess. That's one thing that the Lord's Supper does, is it gives us a good moment, not only to remember the cross, but also to really do an inventory, an in-depth inventory of our lives and ask ourselves the hard questions. Today's the day for you to repent, to confess it, to go to the Lord and to make a change and commit your life to him as you get ready to come and take of this table. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to give you just a moment as you prepare your hearts to think about what I've talked about today, what the Word of God has said to us. Are you in a relationship with God through Jesus? Has there been a time and a place in your life when you've invited Jesus to forgive you of your sins? If there is, and there has been a time, and you're sure, 1,000% sure, that if you died, you'd go to be with Jesus, why don't you take a moment right now and just thank him? Just keep telling him thank you. Thank you for ransoming me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for dying and paying the price for my sins. Thank you for allowing me to be reborn. And if you're here today and you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to be with Jesus, you think you would, you hope you would, maybe you would, but you're not really sure that there's been a time and a place in your life when you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus, you can do it right now. In the quietness of this moment, right now, you can pray to him. And you can say to him, God, I realize I'm a sinner. And I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you came to earth and you died for me. And then in your own words, you can just ask him, will you please come into my life and save me? Will you change me and make me brand new? You can pray that prayer right now and invite Jesus in. And if you're here and you are a Christ follower, but you've drifted away from God, will you spend a moment right now? Will you confess that sin to him? Will you tell him you're sorry for being selfish? I know for me in my life, I've had a couple of these conversations this week with God. I said, God, I've gotten so selfish, so self-absorbed. I am so sorry, God. Will you spend a moment right now? If you're a Christ follower, make sure things are right between you and him. Confess it to him. Spend a moment and do it right now. God, you hear the prayers of the people in this room, some of which might be folks inviting you for the very first time into their lives to save them. Thank you for that, God. And others in this room, it's a prayer and telling you that they're sorry because they've drifted from you. And before they come and take of your table, they want things to be right between you and them. Maybe they've slipped back in their time with you, or maybe it's been a sin of immorality, or maybe it's just coldness. I know I get into a lot of those things myself. And God, as they're praying to you, I pray that this would be a time of restoration in their life as they prepare to take of this table. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this bread that represents your body broken for us, and this juice that represents your blood that was shed on a cross. We know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And thank you, Jesus, for being our ransom, for paying our price, because we could not have paid it any other way. We celebrate that today. We rejoice in you. We are grateful. And it's in the perfect and precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus I pray it all. Amen. Well, in just a moment, we want to invite you to come and take of the Lord's table. I'd like to tell you it's the first time in our new building, but we had a worker service this morning, so it's the second time. It's still pretty special, but we want to invite you to come, and you can come down and take of this bread and drink of this cup. I want to encourage you to not be in a hurry. I know some of you have grown up in a style of doing this where you just kind of do it quickly or rush back to your seat. And you can do whatever you want, but we've got beautiful space here for you to kneel, for you to gather with your family or your friends, or for you to kneel alone. And to take of this is a very special moment in your life. This bread representing Jesus' broken body, this cup representing Jesus' blood. And as you come, I want to remind you what the Bible reminds us, that before you take of this in 1 Corinthians 11, that you're to examine yourself as we talk today. You're to make sure you've confessed your sin. Now, obviously, we're grateful for the grace of God that lets us take it, because none of us deserve it. But just like we read in our text, not only has God redeemed us and freed us, but he expects us to respond in holiness. And so today, make sure you confess that sin. It could be that today you need to stay back and not come and take it. Because if you're living in sin that's unconfessed or undealt with, it's a mockery to God to do that. If you're like me and I'm broken and sinful, I've confessed it to the Lord. And if you've done that and you have a heart of accepting God's grace and forgiveness of your life, once you've talked to God about those things, and once you've spent a little time thanking him for the cross, you come. Come today, thankful that the cross of the Lord Jesus is what cleanses us from all sin and makes us righteous enough in God's sight to someday spend forever with him in heaven. Take a few moments at your seat. When you're ready, come alone, come with your friends, come with your family, and let's celebrate the price that Jesus paid to ransom us from our sin.